Good evening. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, the testing of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to pray with me. Merciful God, we are grateful to be here in this space at this time. Thank you for this day, the beginning of Lent. Thank you for your Spirit leading us to come and listen to your word and receive your word. May your Spirit open our hearts, open our minds. May we open our lives for you to come in and direct us down the path that you have chosen for us. God, thank you for each and everyone here, and I lift them up before you, and I pray that you will speak to all of us now as we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today is the beginning of Lent, as you probably know. And for the next 40 days, we will be preparing ourselves for Easter and for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And Lent is a time for us to remember the events leading up to Jesus' death. A time to do some self-reflection, to seek and to ask forgiveness, to imitate Jesus' fasting in the wilderness, and practice self-control and also a conversion of heart. And so for this year's Lent, I am doing a series of sermons called Are We There Yet? Are We There Yet? And I don't know if you've ever felt that that if you can just make it over the next hurdle, if you can only reach your next goal, you know, then you will have finally arrived in life. And many of us do. As a matter of fact, many of our friends in the Bible did. But guess what? It's called the arrival fallacy. And the arrival fallacy is the common human experience of believing that arriving at a certain goal or milestone will bring happiness and fulfillment, only to discover it brings at best temporary satisfaction. Because we still feel disappointed and also unhappy when we get to the next thing. We find we still haven't arrived at our hoped for destination. We're still unfailingly human. We're still flawed. We are still broken. But we will learn this Lent that as we reconnect with Jesus, who leads us in the way, we should savor our uniquely human journey without the pressure of arrival. Because Jesus provides us with sustenance and meaning and hope through all our ups and downs. He's with us every step of the way through this journey called life. And by the way, the term arrival fallacy was coined by Tal Ben-Shahar. And he has a PhD from Harvard University in organizational behavior. And he's an author and is well known for teaching lectures on happiness at Columbia University. And if you're interested in learning more about the arrival fallacy, in the bulletin in the back, there's a link to an article that was written by Wendy Wisner that gives you a nice look at it. In any case, when we're drowning in problems, it can be tempting to think we can solve them all if we just try hard enough. It's the classic overreach. And what Lent does is it reminds us that we're only human. And to move through our struggles, we must turn to a power far greater than ours. Because you see, as human beings, we are tempted to be self-reliant rather than trusting in God. It's also a factor, by the way, that contributes to the arrival fallacy. Instead of trusting in God, we trust in ourselves and our own capabilities. And so as we self-reflect, I think the first question for us this Lent is, what problems are we tempted to try and fix all by ourselves? What goals are we tempted to achieve simply by our own power? In our passage about the temptation of Jesus, Jesus is facing pressing problems. The devil tempts Jesus to use his own power to get out of these problems. He tempts Jesus to pledge allegiance to him to get out of these problems. And so he says to Jesus, if you are God's son, tell these stones to turn into bread. If you are God's son, jump off the temple. If you are God's son, well, I will give all of this to you if you will bow down and worship me. All these powers and things you see. It's if, then this. And I want you to think about some of your own if statements. What are some of the problems you're facing and the lies that you are tempted to believe? Like, I'm unhappy in my job, but if I get a promotion, then I'll be happy. I'm not satisfied with where my kids are in life. So if only my kids can, you know, get an Ivy League education, then they will be set. I look at other people and I say to myself, if only I had a bigger house, then everything will be great. If my test comes back negative, then I'll be more dedicated to the church. If I pay off my debt, then I will start giving to the church. If I'm less busy, then I will make more room for God in my life. It's the arrival fallacy. So how did Jesus respond to these tempting lies? Because they sound like promises, but they really are tempting lies. How did Jesus respond? What we see is that he continually refers back to God's power. Does not refer to his own power or the devil's power. He shows a deep trust in God's provision. No. None can live only on food. They need every word God has spoken. No, don't try and test the Lord your God. No, go away. The scriptures say, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And it also shows an awareness that despite his discomfort, this time in the wilderness cannot be brought to a premature end. He understands that it is something that has to be seen through to the end. And in the end, the angels came to help him and tend to him. Often in our lives, we are tempted to believe we can end uncomfortable periods prematurely if we just do X, Y, or Z. Instead of saying, God, however long it takes, I am going to trust you. With your presence, with your power, I will see it through to the end. So you see, Lent is a time for us to come to terms with the limitations of our humanity, to understand our finitude, to acknowledge our limited power. It's a call for us to not rely only on ourselves, but to turn back to God. And that's what the word repent means. It's a change of direction. I was going this way that took me further away from God's presence. So I repented, I changed direction, and now I'm headed this way towards God's presence in my life. I turn back to God. How do we do this? I'm sure you're familiar with the tradition of giving something up for Lent. I'm just curious, how many of you actually give something up for Lent? No one. So much for that tradition. I want you to know that I'm giving up two things, okay? If you want to know what I'm giving up, come ask me. But a lot of people give up something. So in any case, that's one thing you can do to help you to begin a spiritual recalibration. Because it's a way of saying no to something so that you can say yes to God. And maybe for you, it's the beginning of a work that will be ongoing. But if you're going to give up something for Lent, I just want you to be aware of your motives, okay? Don't allow what you're giving up to become another attempt to make everything better or distract you from deeper spiritual work. Like, if I just give up this one thing, you know, watching Netflix all night long, then I'll be able to connect with God. If I give up chocolate, then I'll be spiritually fixed. Or it will prove that I can do it, or at least I will lose a few pounds. You say no to one thing with the mindfulness of saying yes to God. That's why you're doing it. Well, here's something else you can do to engage in another spiritual practice this Lent. And maybe it's something that's more generative than simply fasting from something like chocolate. How about you invite God into your discernment about an important decision? Start building that into your life and your relationship with God. Don't simply trust on your own wisdom or intuition or abilities, but genuinely discern God's will when you have to make an important decision. Before I make this decision, I'm going to seek God and allow him to speak into my life. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to rely on what I think I know. I'm going to remember the Lord in this, and he will show me the right way. Or how about you turn to God for perspective when you're anxious or concerned or worried? There's so much going on. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much going on in our own country. And it can easily rob you of your peace. Seek out God's promises to you in the Bible and let it be a source of comfort and peace. Lord, you say in your word that I should not worry about anything, but pray about everything. With a thankful heart, I need to offer up my prayers and requests to you, God. And then because I belong to your Son, Jesus, you will bless me with peace. Peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way I think and the way I feel. Lord, I'm worried and I'm anxious, so give me your peace. It does not mean that the problem or the situation will simply go away. But you will be relying on God's presence and God's strength to help you deal with the problem or the situation. Well, how about taking, you know, 5-10 minutes a day just to be quiet? Actively listen to what God might be saying to you. If you've never joined the Turning Towards God group, then do so. We'll be reading some passages of scripture each day that will go along with the themes that I will be focusing on when with the Are We There Yet sermons each week. So, I'm not saying that any of these practices will fix everything in your life, okay? But there may be a starting point for turning to God rather than to self in times of trouble. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your strength. So often we are so self-reliant. And we think we're capable of doing everything and anything. And yet you want us to acknowledge that you are God and that we simply are not. And we need you. We need your presence. We need your strength. So may this Lent be an opportunity for all of us to find our way back, to draw closer to you in our journey through life. May you bless us, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.